This is the national public broadcast of W.B. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader.
Peace be unto you. Thank you, thank you. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you as we greet in Islam, Assalamu alaikum. We thank God for our presence here. Very, very much pleased, delighted to see our friend from the folklore movement, international movement of folklorina and the folklore men. And also it's a great honor to be here again in Racine, especially to be received by His Honor the Mayor and by distinguished workers in this city and supporters of this beautiful city, and our imams, Imam Shakur, and Imam Luqman. We're very thankful to you, and I have to let you know that you have someone too hard to get me here to Racine. Every time he sees me, he's telling me to come to Racine, and he's telling me of the mayor and everybody. And that's our good friend and brother, Farah. I usually sleep well, very well. I sleep well. I sleep anytime, almost, and anywhere. But last night I couldn't sleep. I went to bed, and I guess I slept about 2 hours or so. And I woke up, I went in the front room, and I looked at the clock on the wall. I said, wow, it's only 2:30. So I tried to go back to sleep. I got back in the bed. Finally, I did go to sleep. Woke up again at 4:30. And I heard something in my voice. It was like I was chanting Quran or something. Racine. And I said, it's not Racine, it's Yasin. You know, the Quran. And our Quran and our holy book is Yasin, and you chant it like that, you see. But I didn't say it. I woke up and I said, I hear my voice, Racine. I guess that's why I couldn't sleep. And so I got up and I did some work around the house and made my morning prayer. When the time for morning prayer came. I'm very happy to be here, and it's an honor for me to represent our community, Muslim American Society, and my ministry, the W.D. Muhammad Ministry, and our supporters. I would like to begin with Muhammad himself to show that Islam says our God and your God is one and the same. Not just one and the same. The words of the Quran, إِلَٰهُنَا وَإِلَٰهُكُمْ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدٌ, means, translated correctly, is our God and your God is one and the same God. That's exactly what it means. One and the same God. Not just one God. So I put it out there that one God, you know, but I want to make it plain and clear that it says our God and your God is one and the same God. And that's true. It's only one God. And we know that. We Christians, the Christians, and we Muslims, and Jews, and the people of faith, we all know that there is but one God. The God that Solomon says of him, he built a temple, peace be upon Prophet Solomon, and he said, I know this house can't hold you, not even the skies of the heavens of heavens can hold you. And this is the God that we believe in, the same God. Our God and your God is one and the same. Well, you made it easy for me. I have scripture. I was going to address scripture, and you did a very excellent job. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So I could speak very briefly on scripture. In our holy book, it is said that Muhammad is mentioned, our Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of God, is mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil. Now, Torah as I'm sure you know, is the Old Testament, Torah. And Injil, for Muslims, is the New Testament, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. The New Testament. And the language, it doesn't say where it's mentioned, it doesn't say it's mentioned in Isaiah, where. The language is so clear that I was able to recognize it as I became myself aware of the Bible, the reading, Bible reading. I was reading the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, and I had completed the reading of the Bible, and I was familiar enough with the language of the Bible to recognize the connection. So saying in the Quran says, God says, Muhammad is the unlettered messenger prophet. Unlettered means that he was never schooled to be the messenger of God or a prophet. He never was schooled. He never was taught by any religious teachers. He was a businessman, working as a businessman for his wife, Khadijah, the Lady Khadijah, may God be pleased with her. and he was not acquainted with the Bible or any scriptures. That's what it means, unlettered, unlearned in the Bible and in scripture. And the unlettered prophet mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil as one coming to break the bonds of slavery and to lift from the backs of the people the heavy yoke that weighed them down. This is in the Quran. This is in the Quran. Brother has already made the other connection I want to make with your scripture, with the Bible. And that was this, that Islam, according to the Quran, is not a new religion. Islam simply means resigning to live at peace with your Creator and with your fellow man, and with creation. It means resigned to live at peace with God, the creation made by God, and also your fellow man, Islam. and we believe that all prophets were Muslims. All prophets were Muslims. Now when you say Muslim, Muslim means someone resigned to live at peace with the Creator, with the creation as God wants it to be, and with his fellow man. That's what Muslims mean. Now, we know Muslims are not always that, and Christians are not always Christ-like either. But we want to be. yes, and Brother already mentioned that in the Quran, it says that what's revealed in the Quran is an explanation of what was revealed before, of what came before it, an explanation and also and a message for all the worlds, and a conclusion, of Scripture. So we believe that no Scripture will come from God after the Quran. We don't say that God will not reveal things, but it will not be revealed to go in a book. God will not give the world another book. That's what we believe. And we also believe that Muhammad is the seal of the prophets. And when we say seal of the prophets, it means that he come in the line of the prophets. And that he said himself, of himself, in this regard, he said prophets had come one following another, and they were building a house, he said, and there was one brick left to be put in the house, and God sent him to put that one brick in the house. And if you think about it, brothers, the story of Muhammad's life, Muslim brothers that is, who are in the religious leadership, imams and teachers of Islam, in the history of Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him, he was not yet called by God. But he was a citizen that was well respected. He belonged to the tribe of Quraysh, the largest and most respected tribe of the idol worshippers of Mecca before Islam came. and he was called by them as Sadiq, means the truthful one, the one who does not lie. And he was called by them El Amin, the trustworthy one. So he was one day a young man in the holy precincts, and the chiefs, the Arab chiefs, were about to take the black stone, which they believed was a stone that came from heaven to the earth, fell down from heaven to the earth. And they were about to take the black stone to place it in its place, restoring the Kaaba after it was it damaged by heavy waters. Now, you wouldn't think waters would be in that part of the world. It's a very dry place, the desert. But sometimes they had heavy water, rain, and flooding. Anyway, they said, "We see El Amin." They didn't call him Muhammad. They called him El Amin, the trustworthy one. They say, "We see El Amin there. Let's call him." Because they were disputing. Who should have this honor to take the stone in his hand and place it there? So they said, "Let's call El Amin." So they called him, and they told him the situation. And he said, "Then find me a cloth, and let's put the stone in the cloth, and each of you take a part of the cloth, the edge of the cloth, and take it to his place." So they did. When they arrived there, then they asked him, would he take his hand and take the stone out of the cloth and place it? And he did. He took the stone out of the cloth, and he placed it in the corner where they wanted it placed. We believe that this all has connection with the Bible, with what came before in the Bible. Yes. So much for our scriptural connection. Now, let me say this. Muhammad said many things. In his last sermon, he said, peace be on him, he said, "Listen, for you present, you who are present, take this to those that are absent. And those who receive it from you, take it to others." He said, "And perchance, the ones who receive it lastly will understand it best." Now, isn't that something? But I can understand that. I can imagine pagans, idol worshippers, coming into this religion. They were not Christians. They were not Jews. They were not people of Scripture. They had not been raised to respect and understand Scripture. It would take them some time to really understand the Prophet's message. They could learn so much in one generation, then the generations would have to learn more and more. That's not to say he didn't have bright minds who were grasping his knowledge of the Quran and his teachings and doing wonders with it. Yes, they were. But were even the greatest among them, like Abu Bakr and Omar and Uthman and Ali? We all know these great men in Islam. These are the four major successors, rulers that came after Prophet Muhammad. But did they know Scripture like Christians know Scripture? Did they know Scripture like Jews, like you rabbis knew Scripture? I don't think so. I do not think so. I don't think even those great men, with their great minds, had the perception and grasp of Islamic knowledge and Quranic teachings that many of our scholars of today have. I don't believe they did. And we worship them almost. But I don't believe they did. and he said also, "There will come a time when you will see Jesus Christ, peace be on him, and myself together." Muhammad said that there will come a day when the people would see the two messengers of God, Christ Jesus and Muhammad, together. I believe that time is now. Our world is one. And for the first time, the great religions are realizing that they have to work together and benefit from the knowledge and purity and wisdom and courage of each other. We can't do it alone. We have to benefit from the great blessings that God has bestowed upon us separately. We have to benefit by working together. We are realizing that for the first time, metta is supporting dialogue with Christian leaders of the world. But for the first time that has happened. So we are definitely living in the day of religion, a new day. And I believe that the world will see these two great figures together in this day and time. Muhammad the Prophet was born a citizen, an Arab, and a citizen of the peninsula we call Saudi Arabia now. It was not that's a new name for Saudi, for that land. It was called the land of the Arabs, the land of the Arabs. And in the Bible, you find Mecca mentioned as Becca. We are still aware in Islamic teachings that Becca is the ancient name for Mecca. Becca. And Becca is in the Bible. And the Bible says it's a prophecy that waters will run in that land. Water will run through that land. And we understand that to be a prophecy. That it will not always be an idolatrous land, but that land will be blessed with revelation from God. The heaven, the pure water will rain down from heaven, and that desert will be blessed with rivers to run through it. We know the Zamzam, the great well of water, Zamzam, which is an underground water. And I guess Zamzam influenced Muhammad the Prophet and the great men of that, wise men and spiritual men of that area, long before it was mentioned in the Quran, the well of Zamzam. But you'll find in the Quran mentioned many, many times over and over, land under which rivers flow, land under which rivers flow. And the Zamzam that comes up, the well, actually comes from a great water source running beneath the earth in that area, that land we call Arabia. Muhammad, born there, in that land, and he was born, I say again, among idol worshippers. And he did not worship idols. It is said that there was a group of people that didn't worship idols. They were a small group, and we believe that they were called Hunafa. And it's from the singular Hanif. Hanif. And in our holy book, Abraham is called the Hanif, the Hanif, that he was Hanif. And it means this, that he was always obeying the best of his nature. He was, simply put, he was upright in his nature. He was always upright in his nature. Upright in accord with the innocent nature that God created for all human beings. Innocent nature, like the newborn baby. No newborn baby is a criminal. You don't deliver any criminals, mothers. There was a time in the history of our criminal law in the United States that they were accepting that they could perhaps sterilize criminals and protect the society from them having a child that would be another criminal. And that didn't last long in the history of American criminology. It didn't last long. They ruled that no child is born criminal. That was the ruling. No child is born criminal. And that's the belief of the believers in Christ Jesus and Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon both of them. That's our belief too, that no one is born criminal. That we all of the creation of God, we come here the creation of God, we are made in heaven by God Almighty, and we come here the creation of God innocent, clean slate, and we make it dirty after we get up some size. yes. Well, Muhammad came also to promote the freedom of religion. He held his followers responsible for protecting the holy places of other religions. Christians, there was another group called Saba in the Quran, the Sabians, S-A-B-I-A-N-S, I'm pretty sure that's the spelling, Sabians for Saba in the Quran. There was that group, they believed in one, and they're still around, they haven't gone, there are still some of those people still practicing that religion. And they believe in one God also. So the worship places of worship of the Sabians and the Christians and Jews were protected by Muslims if their place of worship was in the land that was under Islamic authority. And the tradition has documents showing that the Prophet mandated that the Jews should be allowed to practice their religion, and clearly says as they have been practicing it. No change was imposed upon them or anything. And also the Christians the same, that they would practice they were allowed to practice their religion just as they had practiced it before, no change. And in my conclusion, I want to say that in the Holy Book, this saying is not understood correctly by many Muslims and by many wise and sincere leaders in Islam. In the Quran, it says, and fight them, meaning those who persecute religion. Idolaters mostly were persecuting religion. Prophet Muhammad had two uncles who were bitter enemies, right in his own family, trying to stop what he was doing. It says, fight them until there is no more persecution. So here is Prophet Muhammad told by God to fight those who are trying to deny you the freedom of your religion, but don't fight them forever. Fight them until there's no more persecution. And religion is free for God. Free for God. So that I, a man, can pray to my God and have my privacy and my religion with my God and live in your land among you and disagree with you. But as long as I represent decency and peace, respect for decency and peace, that I should be allowed to have my personal and private relationship with my God and go to my place of worship with others who have this relationship with God and that I have, and not be hindered or have my peace disturbed. This is the Quran. This is the Quran. This is what Prophet Muhammad was given from God. And some of the people say, oh no. Also in the Quran it says that Islam shall become the dominant religion. So they take these two verses, these two references, and they put them together. Fight them until there's no more persecution, but you can't stop fighting them until Islam is the dominant religion. Most of the scholars in Islam, teachers, leaders of prayer, imams, all of them, the ulama, just the scholars, who have a lot of respect from the Islamic world. Scholars in Islam are highly regarded. I guess because Prophet Muhammad said, the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. They have great respect, and the learned in Islam, they do not agree with this kind of interpretation, that we are to fight other people until religion is the dominant religion on this earth. The word is yabha, means it shall become the most apparent of the religions, or the most popular of the religions. Well, the prophecy is coming true. They're saying that Islam is the fastest growing religion now. So maybe it will become the most apparent, the most prevalent, and the most seen religion. Because the way we pray, you know, not many people in religion will stop on the road. I've seen hundreds stop on 100, 50, 20, 100, stop on the road, especially during our time, away from the holy precinct, on the way there, and they make their prayers right on the ground. And that's what we're supposed to do. Because Allah said, God said, the earth is his place of worship, is his mosque. Al-Ardu Masjid Allah.
the earth is the mosque, or the place of worship or prayer. so they do it anywhere. So I'm sure that in time we will become the most seen, and our religion perhaps will become the most popular in the world. But don't start shouting now, brothers, and that like to propagate, because it could mean trouble. Especially when you don't have the quality with the quantity. And we are far behind on the quality. We need to bring the quality up. The numbers are increasing, but the quality is just keep decreasing. The quality of the Muslim has to be there. And that kind of frightens me when I hear that we are becoming the fastest growing religion. Because we don't want the wrong image to grow so fast. They get grow so fast, maybe we won't be able to correct it. So I conclude this with saying, Muhammad the Prophet was sent into the world to give support to the great messengers and prophets that came before him, and to protect the way of God. And we are, as Muslims, we are obligated to be the friends of all good people. God says, we have not sent you to be any other than a mercy to all the world. So we're supposed to have kindness and mercy and charity as the Christians for all. Thank you very much. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.